And good morning, Greenfield. It's too high. As Tyler mentioned last week and also this morning, for the next few weeks, we are taking a break from our journey through the book of Matthew and taking time as a community to reflect on our church mission statement, which is to be Christ followers on mission with God, growing in our love for God, one another, and neighbors. Tyler started us off last week by looking at what it means for us to grow in our love for God. We talked about some of the different types of love referenced in the Old Testament. There was the kinship type of love, one that was covenantal, one that would have more been described as caring or compassionate love, and then we saw agape love in the New Testament. And we also looked at the ways that we can grow in our love for God. My task for this morning is to take us through some reflections on what it looks like for us to be growing in our love for one another. And as Tyler mentioned, next week, Pastor Chris will look at that part of our covenant that addresses growing in our love for our neighbors. We'll conclude the series on February 2nd with our Covenant Sunday. And one of the things that we'll do that morning is affirm together our commitment to our church covenant. I would encourage you to read over the covenant in advance of that Sunday, especially if you are already a member or if you are considering membership here at Greenfield. There was a link to the covenant in our e-bulletin that went out this past week, and as was mentioned, there are some printed copies available on the Welcome Center this morning. Since this morning we are focusing on the section of our covenant that addresses loving one another, I figured it would be helpful if we start by reading through it. And this section states that I will strive to grow in my love for one another by committing to live life together while embracing our unity and diversity in Christ, using my spiritual gifts to build up this body of believers, serving and caring for one another with hospitality and meeting practical needs, and maintaining grace-filled, healthy relationships with mutual accountability and a commitment to reconciliation. If we back up a bit and look at our whole covenant, we start our covenant by looking at how we grow in our love for God, and I would add understanding his love for us, because that needs to be the source of our love for one another and our neighbors. I look at the lines in our love one another section, and I know that there are days when I will be dependent on God to live in this way. And using the words from Tyler's message last week, he said, if we want to love well, we need to be inspired, empowered, and transformed by the love of God. And when we compare that sentiment to the verses that we are looking at in Thessalonians, we see that the progression of starting with loving God in order to love one another and neighbor can also be found there. First and Second Thessalonians were letters written by Paul to the church in Thessalonica. They were written to encourage the believers there who very likely came from various social and economic backgrounds and may not have had much more in common than their new faith in following the way of Jesus. From the beginning of 1 Thessalonians, we can see that Paul and his companions have a great affection for the church in Thessalonica. His greeting to this community starts off with thankfulness and encouragement. We always thank God for all of you and pray for you constantly. As we pray to our God and Father about you, we think of your faithful work, your loving deeds, and the enduring hope you have because of our Lord Jesus Christ. We know, dear brothers and sisters, that God loves you, and he continues on to remind them of how they heard the good news and commends them for being an example in their faith. Later on in chapters 3 and 4, we come upon the verses that were read for us earlier. And may the Lord make your love for one another and for all people grow and overflow, just as our love for you overflows. May he, as a result, make your hearts strong, blameless, and holy as you stand before God our Father when our Lord Jesus comes again with all his holy people. Finally, dear brothers and sisters, we urge you in the name of the Lord Jesus to live in a way that pleases God as we have taught you. You live this way already, and we encourage you to do so even more. But we don't need to write to you about the importance of loving each other, for God himself has taught you to love one another. Indeed, you already show your love for all the believers throughout Macedonia. Even so, dear brothers and sisters, we urge you to love them even more. As I read these words, they express a lot of my feelings for our Greenfield Church community. I am so thankful for Greenfield. I am thankful for your faithful work, your loving deeds, and the enduring hope you have because of our Lord Jesus Christ. I am so thankful that God loves you and that you love him. And one of my prayers for us as a community is that the Lord would make our love for one another and for all people grow and overflow. I want to encourage us this morning because I think that in many ways we do a good job of loving one another. Over the last 3.5 years that I have been here, I have seen the ways you come alongside each other and care for one another in celebrations and in times of need. You sign up for meal trains. You help us with our community dinners and other community events. You serve on the hospitality team by making coffee on Sunday mornings as greeters and ushers and at a welcome desk, helping to ensure that people that come through the doors on a Sunday are welcomed. We have a faithful team of women that provide hospitality during funerals, and you have blessed many people with your presence and gifts at baby and wedding showers. You show your love for our community by volunteering in different capacities, from the many roles that happen behind the scenes on a Sunday morning, to our youth leaders and our small group leaders, the after-service prayer team, and so many other ways. Thank you for the ways in which you let God's love for you overflow to others in our church family. My hope for us as Greenfielders, similar to Paul's for the Thessalonians, is that the Lord would make our love for one another and for our neighbors grow even more to the point where it can't help but overflow. And as we continue to grow in our love for one another, our church covenant gives us some very practical guidance for how to do that. So as a reminder, at Greenfield, we strive to grow in our love for one another by committing to live life together while embracing our unity and diversity in Christ, using our spiritual gifts to build up this body of believers, serving and caring for one another with hospitality and meeting practical needs, maintaining grace-filled, healthy relationships with mutual accountability and a commitment to reconciliation. As I mentioned earlier, when we look at the overall covenant, and not just these few verses from Thessalonians, but the entire letter, we see some interesting connections between the two. First is the acknowledgement from earlier in the covenant and in this letter that our love for one another stems from our love for God and his love for us. One commentary on Thessalonians notes that by using the language of God our Father and our Lord Jesus in chapter 3, verse 11, and the use of the pronoun our occurring with that phrase, it implies a relationship between God and the Christian that may be described metaphorically as a parent-child relationship. This in turn means that Christians have a relationship with one another as metaphorical brothers and sisters with the love and commitment this entails. Thus, God our Father actually prepares for the exhortation regarding love in chapter 4 and for the second part of the wish prayer, which are these verses that we looked at in chapter 3. In our earthly lives, we learn a lot about how to love by watching our parents or the other adults that we trust. So it makes sense that within our spiritual family, we learn how to love by watching how God our Father loves his people. As we've talked about already within our covenant, that is one of the reasons why we start with loving God, because his love for us informs how we love others. Tyler reminded us last week of the verse in 1 John 4:19, which says we love because God first loved us. And so that is where we start. A second connection between these verses and our church community is that the church in Thessalonica would have been composed of people from various different backgrounds. We also are a community composed of people from various backgrounds. We represent different social and economic upbringings. We have a number of different cultural backgrounds in the room. We have people who have always been followers of Jesus and those who are newer in their journeys. In a room this size, we no doubt have people that would carry different opinions on a wide range of topics. And we have people of different ages and stages of life represented in our community. On paper, a gathering of people with this type of diversity shouldn't really work. But we share one really important thing that does bring us all together week after week on a Sunday and in other gathering spaces throughout the week, and it is this. We confess to desiring to follow the same God. And in this pursuit of loving God, we get to connect with people that outside of here, we probably would have never met or spent time with. Charles Wanamaker notes that Paul's emphasis on mutual love for fellow Christians was intended to create a new sense of identity and commitment among people who had no basis for a mutual relation prior to their conversion to Christ. Perhaps then, in this verse, in chapter 4, verse 9, the apostle has in mind the fact that because his readers do indeed love as their brothers and sisters, those who formerly were not even acquaintances, this can only mean that God has led them or taught them to do so. In other words, Paul begins with the fact of his converts' love for one another and concludes that its existence can only be explained by virtue of their having learned to do so from God. In another commentary, it was noted that a different term for love is introduced in this passage in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, and it is the term Philadelphia. This term for love originally referred to love for one's physical siblings, but early Christians, such as Paul, came to use it of their fellow believers. It goes on to note that socially, this exhortation was needed since the Christian community was composed of a disparate group of people of various sorts of social backgrounds and status who would not necessarily be inclined to love each other as brothers and sisters in the ethos they grew up in. Indeed, the more socially elite would have been taught to distinguish themselves from their social inferiors in various ways. So in many ways, Christian community should not work. It is countercultural to the world around us, and the reality is that it always has been. We're not a homogeneous people group, and even if one particular church is more so, the broader Christian community contains a large amount of diversity. Outside of faith-based spaces, there are very few other environments where you will find people come together regularly from such different backgrounds. We grow in our love for one another in a way that we commit to live life together while embracing our unity and diversity in Christ. I believe it shows the world around us that a different way is possible. And we're humans, and we won't get this right all the time, but the type of loving community that we can offer to the world is so desperately needed, and so we strive to live life together while embracing our unity and diversity in Christ. The third point in this section of our covenant is that we strive to love one another in practical ways. I've already listed some ways that we do that, but I did want to share two ways that I've seen how our love for one another can be a witness to people outside of our church community. The first is from when I was sitting on a board of one of our neighboring community leagues. We were at a board meeting around this time last year, doing some planning for the year ahead, and as we talked about different dreams we had for our community and feedback that we had received from community members, I was struck by how many of those things were just naturally a part of how we tend to do church life together. There was the idea of packages welcoming new families to the neighborhood, meal trains, a resource bank for skill sets that could be shared with others, among other things. And it reminded me of how thankful I am that I know that I'm a part of community where these things happen. When we actively love people well within our church that gathers here and do some of these types of things that were being noted in our survey, people that are on the outskirts of church community take note of that. And I saw this very clearly when I moved last year. When I was doing my home inspection, there were three men from Greenfield that very graciously gave of their time to walk through my house, and they gave me feedback on questions to ask, things to make note of, and thankfully many things that were good. And my realtor, who is a friend from my community league world, commented many times on how unique it was to have people in my life that would give of their time to come and do that for me. And then moving day came. And as I was letting people into my apartment building and items were moving out and into the trucks, more and more of you kept showing up. I was blown away not only by how quickly we got it done, but that so many people would show up for me. And not because I am anything special, but because as much as possible, this is what we do for each other. And the testimony that that was to those who were observing that day was profound. I don't have enough thank yous to express how much that meant to me. And overall, the journey of me moving into where I am now was a testament to the gift of living life in community. We also strive to grow in our love for one another by using our spiritual gifts to build up this body of believers. If you've been around church for a while, you've likely heard talk of these spiritual gifts. The idea of spiritual gifts is referenced in the New Testament in Romans 12, 1 Corinthians 12, and in Ephesians 4. And likely the most commonly thought of text when we hear this phrase, spiritual gifts, is 1 Corinthians 12, verses 8 through 10. Starting in verse 4, though, we read that there are different kinds of spiritual gifts, but the same Spirit is the source of them all. There are different kinds of service, but we serve the same Lord. God works in different ways, but it is the same God who does the work in all of us. A spiritual gift is given to each of us so that we can help each other. To one person, the Spirit gives the ability to give wise advice. To another, the same Spirit gives a message of special knowledge. The same Spirit gives faith to another, and to someone else, that one Spirit gives the gift of healing. He gives one person the power to perform miracles and another the ability to prophesy. He gives someone else the ability to discern whether a message is from the Spirit of God or from another spirit. Still another person is given the ability to speak in unknown languages, while another is given the ability to interpret what is being said. It is the one and only Spirit who distributes all these gifts. He alone decides which gift each person should have. And all of the gifts listed in this passage are given for the benefit of the church to be used for the edification and building up of the Christian community. The other passages that look at spiritual gifts have some variations, so this list is not exhaustive. And there are other spiritual gift tests that I'm sure many of us have taken. And they can also include things like the gift of helps or mercy, encouragement, teaching, craftsmanship, hospitality, and leadership, and there are many others. And if you have not spent time in the past to look into what your spiritual gifts might be, I would strongly encourage you to do so. You may discover that you have a gift that isn't represented in our community yet, or it might give you new insight in how to connect with others. We are better as a community when we are helping one another to serve in our areas of gifting. I know how helpful it has been for me in my own journey to know and better understand how God has made me and in turn what gifts I have to offer the community that I'm a part of. Because when I am serving in my gifting, I am far more likely to love those around me well. And finally, in our covenant, we strive to grow in our love for one another by maintaining grace-filled, healthy relationships with mutual accountability and a commitment to reconciliation. This can be one of the more difficult ones at an interpersonal level, but it is so crucial for the overall health of a community. In my own life, I will confess that I am not perfect at this. I know that I don't always get things right in relationships, that there are many times my insecurities take over, and my reactions to things may not be grace-filled or hospitable. I know that sometimes it is easier to hold on to ways that we've been hurt than work through a situation. On days when I'm exhausted and have no peopling left in me, I might speak more shortly with someone than I would ever mean to. I work at being quick to own up to my mistakes, but I know that there are times when I could do that better. And I share this not to try and gain any public absolution or as a show of fake humility, but to be honest that I don't always get it right, but I want to. And I'm dedicated to continue growing in the areas where I fall short. On days when I'm more confidently walking in my identity as a beloved of Christ's, I do a lot better with this, and it is again a reason why we start with the importance of us loving God and God loving us, because he is our best source of love for ourselves and one another. I appreciate those of you who have approached me when you've noticed that something is off, or if I've spoken in a way that wasn't helpful, and you've kindly and graciously called attention to things. I admittedly am probably hyper aware that I am still a work in progress, but there are two practices that I have found helpful as I pursue this part of the covenant. The first is the practice of daily examine. A few weeks ago, Brittany gave us a description of the prayer of examine, but it is a practice that it encourages us to reflect on the day and prepare for the one to come with the leading and guidance from the Holy Spirit. When I get to the part of the prayer that encourages me to reflect on the day and things I may have said or done that weigh heavy on my mind, it is a good way for me to keep short accounts with God and with other people. I also see a spiritual director once a month to help me have intentional space to pause and reflect on what God is doing in my life. And having these two practices helps me to practice accountability and grow in my ability to have healthy relationships within community. These moments of growth and sometimes difficult conversations do work for our good and the good of our community, even when they're not pleasant. My trainer has said that relationships are built on communication, but strengthened through tough conversations. And while most of us don't enjoy tough conversations, there are moments when we need to have them in order to grow forward together. And one of the things that I have appreciated about our Greenfield community, and actually one of the things that drew me here, is that overall, I believe there is a willingness and a desire to want to work through these moments together and to learn and to try again. And I am very thankful that our ability to love one another doesn't depend solely on our own strength, but that it is possible for God to empower us to do so. And I am thankful for the hope of reconciliation. As we prepare to close this morning, I want to bring us back one more time to the love one another section of our covenant and remind us that within our Greenfield Community Church, we strive to grow in our love for one another by committing to live life together while embracing our unity and diversity in Christ, using our spiritual gifts to build up this body of believers, serving and caring for one another with hospitality and meeting practical needs, maintaining grace-filled, healthy relationships with mutual accountability and a commitment to reconciliation. I encourage us to spend time reflecting on this part of the covenant over the week ahead. Similar to when we do a dwelling in the Word, I would invite you to pay attention to the words or phrases that the Holy Spirit highlights to you, and I'd encourage you to share that and your reflection on it with someone you trust. And to conclude, I wanted to leave us with five thoughts on how we can continue growing in our love for one another. The first is to be present with one another. Never underestimate the importance of your presence to someone else. When it comes to people feeling seen and cared for, presence with others can make a world of difference. David Brooks, in his book, How to Know a Person, describes presence as being about showing up. Showing up at weddings and funerals and especially showing up when somebody is grieving or has been laid off or has suffered some setback or humiliation. When someone is going through a hard time, you don't need to have some wise thing to say. You just have to be there with heightened awareness of what they are experiencing at that moment. His entire chapter on accompaniment lends itself really well to this topic. So I would highly encourage reading this book. Presence can feel like a small thing sometimes, but I think it is highly underrated. And I know that there have been countless moments in my own life where this simple act of someone being present with me has been all that I've needed to feel cared for in a particular moment. The second is an encouragement to reflect on our current capacity to love one another. I came across this note in one of my study Bibles, and it said, if your capacity to love has remained unchanged for some time, ask God to fill you again with his never-ending supply. Then look for opportunities to let his love spill over in refreshment to others. And I think simply this can just be a helpful review for us to do from time to time. The third is an encouragement again to know your spiritual gifts. Take some time to learn about your spiritual gifts, and if you're not sure how to use them within our community, please talk to a member of our pastoral team. If you would be interested in taking a test, feel free to chat with us and we can give you some recommendations on ones that we have found to be helpful. There are some ones out there that I would not recommend, but there are some really good ones. And you can also quickly scan the QR code that will be going up there. And that is will take you to a test that Tyler recommends. And we can also send that out to you if you don't want to scan the code in this moment. But these tests are a tool to show us how we love, lead, and serve. There are also other types of assessments that can be done alongside spiritual gift tests that can be really helpful. One that I have found to be especially helpful in my own life is the Gallup StrengthFinder test. And one of the reasons is that it is used as a lens to see how you do things and not necessarily what you should do. And when you pair it with spiritual gifts, it can give you really good insight in how you can connect with others in community. When I have done spiritual gift tests, I frequently get results that include the gifts of helps, mercy, hospitality, shepherding, empathy, and things of that nature. In the multiple iterations of StrengthFinder's test that I have done, somewhere in my top five, there will be likely developer, responsibility, empathy, connectedness, or belief. And I don't have time to give all those definitions, but my developer strength, for example, directly aligns with gifts of empathy and shepherding. The strength of empathy links to things like helping others, mercy, shepherding. Connectedness and belief also align with those in their own way. And the responsibility strength tied in with all of those mean that I feel very personally responsible for people's emotions and spiritual growth, which is sometimes helpful and sometimes not for either party involved. And so knowing these things about myself has enabled me to have a better understanding of how God has created me and how I can contribute to the church or Christian communities that I find myself in. And the fourth is care for one another. If you'd like to know more for how you can care for people within our community with hospitality or through practical needs, we have groups like the Greenfield Moves team. There are meal trains coming up and one that is in process. We have a fix-it team and Tyler is planning a work day. We also have our after-service prayer team that is available to pray with others on Sundays. You could join our prayer chain because we believe that prayer is powerful. And we also have our Stephen ministers who are individuals who go through a period of training in order to come alongside others in our church community in a really practical way. And they can be available to meet with people, but we also will likely be looking to add some more to that team. So stay tuned for some of that if that's something that you think would align with some of your gifts. And the fifth is join a group. I didn't talk a lot about them today, but we have many different types of groups to connect to at Greenfield. We have some that are more of a social space, and those are really great spaces to make connections with others, especially if you are newer to Greenfield. We have other groups that contain more of a study element, or others that go quite in depth, like Core 3, which if you'd be interested in learning more about how our church covenant shapes who we are and how we endeavor to do things at Greenfield, Core 3 is a really great place to start with that. And I'm sure there are many former people that have gone through it that would be happy to tell you about it. The information for our groups is available on the website and in the Church Center app. And I'm always happy to connect with people to chat more about our groups. And I want to take this moment to say a thank you to our various group leaders for creating diverse spaces for people to connect and grow in belonging to one another. I know that you put time into your preparation, you put prayer into your preparation, and we thank you for creating hospitality for people to show up and be and to grow closer to God and one another. And undergirding all of these things is a need for intention. None of this happens magically. Living life together in community takes effort. We all have different levels of capacity for connection, and pursuing this life in community will not look the same for everyone. But regardless of how that will look for each of us, it does require a level of intentionality. We have a God who deeply loves us, and as we grow in our love for him and in our understanding of his love for others, we are empowered and equipped to have his love flow out from us to one another so that we can continue to live on mission together. And I'll invite the worship team forward and I'll just pray for us before we go into this final song. Father, we thank you for spaces to come together in community this morning. And we continue to offer this time of worship to you. Holy Spirit, I thank you that you are present when we worship together. Father, we thank you for your love for us and for the way that equips us to love one another.